So with that, thank you very much. Paul, you can take yourself off mute and I'll turn it over to you.
Okay, thank you very much, Stacy. Thank you, and good afternoon, everybody. It's a pleasure to be here. It's nice to see a lot of old friends on the panel today and the committee, and also hope to make some new ones by later today. So my name is Paul Rago. I'm currently chair of the Scientific and Statistical Committee for the Mid-Atlantic Fisheries Management Council. I was previously a stock assessment scientist at National Marine Fisheries Service in Woods Hole, where I was the chief of the population dynamics branch, where we were responsible for the stock assessments for the 60 some species that comprise the Northeast, the Mid-Atlantic, and the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Council operations. So I also was involved with the calibration review panels for both the FES and the APIS calibration. So I do have some familiarity with the process. So I thank all of you for the opportunity to present today. My objectives are basically to review the importance of recreational fishing for Mid-Atlantic managed stocks. I'll try to minimize the overlap I have with Kylie and Julia's presentations. I'll spend a bit of time describing the process by which we derive the acceptable biological catches, the ABC, from the overfishing limits, the OFL. I will try to refrain from using acronyms as much as I can, recognizing that for many of you, the Magnuson-Stevens acronym language is not a second language for you. So, right, to do that. And then finally, I'll talk about some of the potential benefits from of real-time catch information that may confer to the process of deriving ABCs. If we look at the and spectrum of importance of the recreational fishing in the Mid-Atlantic, it basically goes from zero to unmeasurable up to measure, to major. Surf clams and quahogs, of course, have no recreational fishing, nor do their more athletic mollusk cousins, the long fin and short fin squids there. But as you move towards the other species, you do see an increasing importance there, and I'll try to quantify some of that. Spiny dogfish is a charismatic and beloved species within the Mid-Atlantic, most people won't admit that they caught them, so they tend to have a very low percentage. And then as Kylie and Julia remarked, the big four are summer flounder, scup, black sea bass, and most importantly, bluefish. And so if we look at the fraction of recreational removals, what I've listed here are the various species, the total catch, and the approximate amount of recreational component to that. So basically, as you go from top to bottom, you go from increasing importance to diminished importance. So with bluefish, for example, the revised MRIP estimates resulted in a recalibration effect of about 2.8 to 1. That was a substantial change in the perception of overall abundance. In bluefish, the access point intercept survey is also used for CPUE, the catch per unit effort, and that in turn provides a measure of population trend. And then finally, an important point is that the stock assessment uses an alternative estimator of weight for discarded fish. And so that is a point that's important in terms of timeliness of those information. Black sea bass has 75% over the past 5 years of available data. And that, again, is one that we'll talk about at the end, where some of the overages and the implications of those for management and for science. Summer flounder and scup are both in the 40% to 50% range, and everything else is in the very low abundance or very low proportion of recreational catch. Atlantic mackerel is at 20%, and there was about a 2-to-1 increase in that factor based on the historical data. For blue line tilefish, we basically rely on the stock assessment model that is used in the South Atlantic. There is no formal stock assessment model that's used in the Mid-Atlantic, and as you can see, in terms of scale, it's a 10-to-1 problem versus a 10-to-3 or 10-to-4 problem for other stocks. So, some of the basic assessment considerations are that, you know, the scientific surveys provide measures of population trend. Removals, that is the total of landings and discards in both recreational and commercial fisheries, provide the measure of scale. The fundamental problem in fisheries is, you know, do we have catches that are the realization of low fishing mortality on a large stock or high fishing mortality on a small stock? We combine that information on trend and scale with some additional parameters and assumptions, most notably natural mortality. Of course, this is an area where Dr. Lorenzen has certainly made his mark in fisheries management and fisheries science. Now, the basic consideration is that when fishing mortality exceeds natural mortality, most assessment models perform better, because the reliance on that assumed natural mortality component is reduced. We'll show, at least by in words, how that sort of follows. But in general, that is a key element of model performance. And of course, managers and the Magnuson-Stevens Act, which acts to reduce fishing mortality, typically results in a degradation in the performance of the models. So that's kind of the ironic implications or the unintended consequences of in-stock assessment models. Now, the recalibration of the catch has changed the perception of the population scale for many species, and not quite as much as perhaps in the Gulf of Mexico, but certainly for those stocks in which recreational catch constitutes a large fraction of the overall resource, those raising factors of 2-to-3-to-1 from the previous perception changes that importance of recreational fishing as a determinant of stock dynamics. Now, underlying this process, of course, is the timing. Scientific surveys typically are considered point estimates, but in fact, they're slow-mos of the slow-motion representations of the stock dynamics because they take place over a period of 1 or 2 months. Commercial catch landings are typically monitored with on a 1 to 2 week delay. But they are adjusted post-season in the stock assessment process for stock units, whether it's a Gulf of Maine or Georges Bank. That's not a relevant consideration here, but in the Mid-Atlantic. But there's also needs to be a reconciliation of the vessel trip reports, which are the individual reports from fishermen, and the dealer data, which is intended to be a census of the overall data. Discards are also the result of observational programs, much like conceptually to the MRIP, but they are not done, they're typically done in complete form at the end of the season. So again, this is an end of year activity. Recreational catch, we've heard a great deal about not only the timing, and of course, this is the central focus of this panel. But at the end of the day, there's consequences that almost all stock assessments use an annual time step. Now, one of the central tasks of the SSC is to translate the overfishing limit, that is that catch level that obtains when the stock size is fished at the FMSY level, or the fishing level that is designed to achieve maximum sustainable yield, and translate that into an acceptable biological catch. It's the biological part is important because it says that its primary focus is on the biology, but an acceptable is the weasel word in there, because there are many different ways in which things are acceptable. But there are two essential elements of this thing. The first is to develop the level of risk associated with overfishing. This is a policy decision, and part of typically what are called control rules for these. And then secondly, we're concerned about the uncertainty of the estimate of OFL. So this addresses some of the questions that were raised earlier, and hopefully this will can elaborate upon those. Now, the council, as I said, the risk policy is something that's defined externally. It is informed by various analyses that are conducted across the United States in terms of national policy. It is also informed by judicial decisions related to, you know, what is an acceptable risk. And finally, it's informed by simulation models. Now, in this instance, I'm presenting two informations. So we have the ratio of the current stock size to the target biomass at maximum sustainable yield. So this is the B over BMSY ratio here. So if the ratio is one, it's essentially at the target, if you will. If it's above, then the fishery is considered not overfished. And so anything to the right of the one is not overfished. In fact, everything to the right of the 0.5 is considered not overfished. So between 0.5 and 1, you basically have a demilitarized zone in which fishing activities can occur. And they are allowed to occur, but at reduced levels. If you fall below 0.5 in that ratio, then you become overfished status. And in overfished status, typically you have to notify the regional office. You begin a process of rebuilding, which is an undesirable, unpleasant experience that most councils wish to avoid with great detail. And then finally, there's a 0.1, if you're at 10% of BMSY, the desire is to avoid overfishing at all. And the only way you really do that is to have no acceptable risk. Of course, that is in theory, because fishing activity for other species does occur, and there will be friendly fire ancillary damage to the resource. But you can see that the status quo was the original one as a result of simulation studies, notably John Wiedemann conducted for the council and a number of committees. There is a revised risk policy, kind of a piecewise linear policy. It's non-differentiable at two points there, and so you do have some kinks, discontinuities, and they pop up a little bit later too, as you see. But so this becomes the acceptable probability. So currently, when the stock is above 1.5 ratio B to BMSY. You can fish. Excuse me. You can fish at very close to the maximum allowable overfishing limit of 0.5. It's 0.49. 0.5 was defined by a judge who said that you can't have fishing policies that are no better than a coin flip. So that's sort of what. But the important, the business end of this is really below BMSY and where the target level of fishing mortality results in a slightly higher overall level of risk. So you can see that this revised council risk policy allows for increased risk over all levels of B over BMSY ratios. So the next step, the part that the SSC is involved with is translating that risk policy from the OFL to the ABC. And what we do is assign a level of precision to the overfishing limit. The basic premise that we operate under is that the variability about the model underestimates the true uncertainty. Now why is that? A lot of model simulations have revealed that the distribution of uncertainty about the model typically underestimates the true state of nature from the operating model that generated the data. That is an important consideration. I mean, one, it's partly reflective of the flexibility of the current suite of models that are used. They are highly adaptable and can morph to the data, perhaps too much in some instances. So things like AIC and so forth are sometimes used, but their applications strictly to fisheries assessment models, I think, is somewhat problematic. In terms of retrospective patterns, that is a kind of undesirable property of models in which the deletion of successive years of information from the terminal model results in different abundance and fishing mortality estimates. That arises typically because there's tension in the model. So as you take the full set of data and then run the model and then look at what the model would have predicted had it only had n minus one data points time steps, it results in a changed pattern, either overestimating or underestimating relative abundance. Another factor that underlies this basic premise of using an alternative measure of uncertainty is that there's forecast error. And then finally, the stock assessment process typically is one of considering a best model formulation. So obviously in the absence of alternative models, you might be able to improve that, but you know, a full ensemble such as used for hurricane forecast and so forth is still not used commonly in fishery science. So the simulations that have been done suggested a coefficient of variation of at least 60% is appropriate under the further assumption that the distribution of catches in the OFL follows a log normal distribution. The SSC has extended this to a range of 60 to 150% in terms of that CV. Now, there's a step here that's important, and the first one is that the SSC assumes that the model's point estimate of the OFL characterizes the central tendency, but that the measure of dispersion or the CV generated by the model is insufficient, so that it requires an alternative estimate of the CV. The consequence of this in terms of what happens. So, you know, on the x-axis here, we have the same ratio of the B to BMSY as we had in the risk policy one. But on the y-axis, we're looking at the relationship between the ABC and the overfishing limit. So when the stock size is above 1.5 in this instance, there's almost no difference. So the fishing can occur at the level of the overfishing limit. That is, the stock size is multiplied by the FMSY to get a catch level. As you decline from that, the consequence is that the disparity, the ratio of these two becomes smaller, and here are the discontinuities that I talked about earlier. So the top line reflects the level of catch that will achieve the target a level of risk associated in the risk policy for each of the things. So in this case, if take one where it follows right on the thing. So if the fishing, or if the B to BMSY ratio is 0.8, the ratio of the ABC to the OFL would also be around 0.8. If we assume a higher level of coefficient of variation, then the stock size, the admissible catch would be, you know, somewhere between 0.6 and 0.7. So you can see that there's a huge benefit of having an assessment which has a CV of 60%, and as you're, there's a penalty that incurs as the coefficient of variation increases. So you may be asking at this point, okay, Sherlock, how do you find this this OFL CV, or how do you assign it? Well, the SSC has formalized this process and has attempted to, you know, achieve this in by considering a suite of factors, and we call this the OFL CV matrix, which is basically a point-by-point review of the decision criteria and an assignment of that. And then at the end of the day, at the end of, usually takes at least a day to do this, you have a various levels of for each of these nine factors, which then in more of a gestalt approach in the preponderance of the evidence, type of consideration becomes the assigned value. So it's going to be either 60, 100, or 150, or in the case of instances where there may be some very exceptionally poor data quality or so forth, it will be, you know, even higher. It could be arbitrarily assigned. So the first primary consideration is the data quality. And within that are the accuracy and the precision of catch. So in terms of its importance, that this is where the quality of the MRIP data, both on a real-time basis and on a historical basis, that kind of factors into this consideration. You know, we've obviously had a major perturbation in the system by the recalibration of the MRIP data over time. So everyone's still dealing with the shock waves of that. And I suspect that the councils to our south and west are also having the same kinds of issues. You know, obviously it's important to have good information on external data, such as natural mortality rate. That's M in fisheries speak. The model appropriateness and identification is usually addressing issues of alternative models and whether or not they're a good match for the underlying life history. Retrospective patterns I mentioned earlier, and it's important to note that they're often due to an undetected temporal trend. That's important because the MRIP calibration was useful in that measure there. Can we, in low harvest situations, it's oftentimes important to have alternative measures of population scale. Oftentimes these are experimental studies that can directly translate catch per unit effort into true abundance. Ecosystem factors are important. Several questions have arisen, do we have stable parameters? Is natural mortality a constant? To what extent is temperature influencing recruitment time series and their consequences? In terms of dealing with that explicitly, a lot of work is being done to sort of address the issue of how can we deal with what are perceived trends in recruitment. If recruitment is diminished, is that a function of environment or is it a function of low stock size? Prediction error is one where we look at performance of the model in terms of forecasts and so forth. So again, that's another key consideration. And then finally, the assessment accuracy and simulation analyses are essentially looking at whether the population has had a strong rate of exploitation over time. So how do we deal with this on terms of this uncertainty of the recreational catch and what is its relationship to the ABC? The first is that the translation of this uncertainty in the OFL is neither linear nor is it direct. However, improvements to achieve the timeliness of recreational data would have a huge impact in terms of, I think, improving the model quality and performance. And in particular, for those stocks in which recreational removals constitute a large fraction of the overall resource. Improved data are important because the unidentified processes are minimized. For example, the conversion of the old to the new MRIP data eliminated this retrospective pattern. That is, not only did the models perform better in terms of precision, but they also performed better when you deleted the 1 year and looked at the performance of what they would have predicted had they had slightly less data. So that comparison of the of historical estimates with contemporary estimates, was greatly improved, and so that same benefit would obtain under a improvement in the ultimate data. Now, the other important factor where and both Kylie and Julia touched on this as well is that when we set up OFL projections, that is when the assessment models are used to forecast future catches under FMSY and so forth, they typically use the data from year T minus one for that assessment in year T. So there's a lag, there's a 1 year lag there. In order to get the fishery the stock size at the start of T plus one, you need to use the imputed values of catch in year T. That is, those in season forecasts, if you're getting 60% of the catch realized, what do you project to be the total? The better you are with that, then the better those forecasts can be. Some years you can do the forecast on in years T plus one to T plus N based on an FMSY projection as you apply a fishing mortality rate to the stock size, or in the interest of stability of catch, you have quotas which allow you to look at those as well. So I realize I'm pushing up against the boundary here, Stacy. So give me the hook. This is the last slide, so I'll try to zip through this. Both underestimation, overestimation of stock size are important, and they can create what I call pernicious feedback loop. Both it undermines both the science and the management. If you overestimate the stock size, you set the catches too high, the stock declines without detection, and the onerous task of rebuilding jumps in. If you have underestimation, the catches can be set too low. The catches will then likely exceed the OFL. The accountability measures can be invoked irrespective of who caused them. And future catches will be reduced even as the stock increases. So that one is particularly damaging both to the science and the management. So in just in general, if the lags between the acquisition, review, and decision-making and the execution can be shortened, real-time data fits in nicely. But of course, this is not solely a scientific issue, but one of logistics, economics, and public policy. And then finally, controllability is a key component of all of this. Many of the measures can be less effective than intended, if fishing effort on other species occurs. So even a former stock assessment scientist can catch a black sea bass if they're fishing, if that season happened to be closed. So. So with that, I thank you for your attention. I apologize for running a little bit late, but I hope it's useful, and I'm happy to answer questions as they arise. So thank you.